Hello, and good day, everyone. It's Kevin Finkel here, and this is an episode of Magic the First Pioneers podcast. This is a podcast all about the Pioneer format, and we keep our listeners up to date with what is new, interesting, and powerful in the world of Pioneer.
And my name is Ryan Schwenk. I am the cardboard hobbyist out of the Tokyo area of Japan.
Yep, just the two of us today. No extra people going on, so we don't have a party going on.
The party hasn't started yet.
Oh, I mean, we're back to Zendikar, and the party has certainly started, or it hasn't. We're going to kind of see that this episode. This episode, you know, we just finished our set review last week, and we kind of wanted to just dive in, maybe a little bit brewing, maybe a little bit just like looking at the decks, talking about the format as far as party as a mechanic. So kind of a weird one that was introduced here in Zendikar, and it's a lot of cards that care about creature types, but they care about multiple different creature types. So rogues, wizards, clerics, and warriors. And if you have any number of them, then you can make up a party of up to four with no more than one of each of those, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
There's some cards that care about them. There's also, you know, there's cards that support each of the kind of individual creature types in various ways in Pioneer. So we're going to talk a little bit about that, talk about whether we think that maybe a party deck is possible, how we might go ahead building one of those, and just, you know, we're kind of going to just have a party here.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit.
So this is kind of like this is like a 3-for-1 or a 4-for-1, I don't know. Like you said, we're going to talk about new cards, we're going to talk about new decks, we're going to talk about new mechanics, so I'm good to go. I'm ready to get this party started.
Yeah, I've got a little bit of an unfair advantage. You know, you're living out there in Tokyo, but I get to party in the USA.
Yeah. So, do you want to start off with, like, Party Matters cards?
Yeah, I think that's a good place to start with that. Is, like, if we're talking about, you know, we're going to be building a full-on party deck, we're going to be getting each of those rogues, wizards, clerics, and warriors together. What is the payoff for us doing that? And what are the big cards that really reward you for doing so? So I've kind of got a list of you know, all the cards that care about party whatsoever.
Okay, so
what are the standouts for you?
Yeah, for me, I mean, if I get to choose first, I'm going to choose Linvala.
Okay, that's a great one. Yeah, so blue-white, one white and blue, 3/3 flying angel.
It's a wizard.
That if you've got a full party, it detains a permanent the opponent controls. If you don't have a full party, then it's just, yeah, a 3/3 flying angel wizard for 3, which is good, and also has the ability to sacrifice to give your whole side hexproof or indestructible.
And I think this one's probably going to be the easiest to build around. You know, white and blue gives you a lot of wizards and warriors and, clerics and, what's the other one I missed? Darn.
Warriors, oh, rogues.
Rogues, yeah, rogues, there we go.
I mean,
yeah.
Blue has rogues.
Blue and white have a lot of those colors. So yeah, this is my favorite one so far.
Yeah, and I think it's one of the easier ones to build around because you don't have to fully build around it. You know, if you're just playing some aggressive creatures and a 3/3 flying angel that can protect your team, that's just gravy. Like, that's a good card you want in that deck already, even if you don't hit the point where you've got a full party going.
Yeah. Well, I'm so excited to talk about that card once we get to the brews.
So kind of on the same topic, the one that immediately drew my eye was Archpriest of Iona. Mm-hmm. So that's the one drop, they're the X2 human cleric for one. And its power is equal to the number of creatures in your party. So with just itself, it's a 1/2, but you play another creature, it's 2/2. It can get as big as a 4/2. And beginning of combat, if you have a full party, a creature you control gets +1/+1 and flying until end of turn. So it can be a 5/3 flying attacker.
Nice.
If you end up with a full party.
That's nice.
Yeah, or if it's the last one you play, it can buff something else, get through damage.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, that one's really cool.
It's a great enabler as well as a good threat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was my second choice.
Okay. Well, I can go one more then. We're kind of already in the colors. And Nimble Trap Finder, I think, is one that has overperformed for me, if we're talking about ones that we're looking at. So that's the one in a blue human rogue.
Okay.
It's 2/1. And if you've played a cleric, rogue, warrior, or wizard this turn, other than him, then he's unblockable. And he has if you have a full party effect, every creature you control, when it deals combat damage to a player, you draw a card.
I mean, that was one of my possible choices.
Yeah, and that one, you know, we're kind of just talking. I mean, maybe that's curve. I'm sure we'll go more deep into it. But it's one of those where, hey, you know, it's a 2/1 unblockable most of the time if you're curving out.
Mm-hmm.
And occasionally, if you get a full party, even if you aren't attacking with a full party, it's going to draw you, you know, 1 to 3 cards, and that's huge.
Yeah. So, good synergy card. Maybe not winning any games on its own, but, you know, like I said.
Yeah. Yeah, probably not a huge payoff card, but it is one that is a good card that cares about party, I think.
So, I think there's, like, there's a few more extras too. I think the next card I would like to talk about, just because I'm more of an aggro person, is Squad Commander. Which I believe...
Okay, that's a good one to talk about.
I believe, is that a warrior?
Yeah, so that's a core warrior.
Yeah.
Or a courier. 4 mana.
I'm trying to find it here. It's 4 mana. I believe
so it's a 3-3.
Yeah.
Enters, it makes a 1-1 white core warrior creature for each creature in your party. So if it's just, you know, you're playing it with nothing else on the board, it's a 3-3 that comes with a 1-1.
Yeah.
And it's not the worst thing, yeah. But if you have a full party at the beginning of combat again, then all your creatures get +1/+0 and indestructible till end of turn.
Yeah, so this is something, you know, if you're building an aggro version, white and red, again, white and red gives you a lot of wizards, it gives you a lot of warriors and clerics. I think maybe the rogues would be difficult to find, but still, I think this would be a cool kind of top end for like a white-red aggro deck. Even Jeskai.
Interesting, yeah. Let me talk about some other ones that are... So what do you think about Tazri? Because she's supposed to be another payoff here, you know. She's a 5-mana human warrior, a 4-6, but she costs 1 less for each creature in your party, so it can cost as little as white for a 4-6.
Yeah.
And has an ability, it's 8 mana, but... If you use colored mana, so it's 2 or a blue, 2 or a black, 2 or a red, and 2 or a green for reveal. Look at the top 6 cards of your library, and you can reveal up to 2 clerics, warriors, wizards, rogues, or allies from among them, put them into your hand.
So I actually kind of see, when I was thinking about this, I actually thought, or I should say, I actually compared Tazri to more kind of like, what's his name? The banana Sultai guy. Can't remember his name anymore.
Not Sidisi. No. Tasker.
There we go. More like a Tasker, because Tasker with Delve became so cheap, and most of the time you can play him for like 1 mana back during, you know, the Khan's standard. And with this, I think if you're playing kind of like a beatdown type deck with your party, I would not put it past being able to play this like on turn 3 maybe. You know.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going, you know, 1 drop as a cleric, 2 drop as a rogue, and then play this as a 3 drop, like a 4-6 for 3 isn't bad, or you can play a 3 drop and then finish your party, play it for 1 as on 4, maybe that's possible. I haven't tested this card, maybe it's one that I need to give more time to, but as far as the ability, do you think that you need to be playing 5 colors to run Tazri?
Like I said, base, it's going to be a 4-6 for like 1 mana, and aside from that, maybe if you're only playing a 3 color deck, I wouldn't probably want to play more than 3 colors. You know, if you're playing like a Naya deck or something like that, then you know it's a good late game card. You're going to be paying 6 mana, maybe
7 mana.
Yeah,
yeah. If you're a Naya, if you're a Naya, then yeah, it could be 6 mana. That's not bad. Yeah, that's where I'm kind of like, okay, yeah. If I'm blue white, I'm not going to want to pay 7 mana to play this. If I'm like, yeah, maybe if I'm 3 color,
yeah,
then I'd be more willing to.
I think whatever deck is probably lacking, or sorry, whatever color combination is lacking in card advantage, or you know, card draw or something like that, that's where I would want to be playing Tazri. She's not, for example, she's not going to be in a collected company deck. But the decks that maybe you don't want to be collected company, that's where I would have Tazri.
Okay, interesting. There are a few more that I think are worthwhile party payoffs. So mostly, you know, we've been focusing on kind of the creatures. And I think that those have a bit of inherent advantage because the non-creatures, you know, you're kind of one fewer party every time you play one of them. You know, if there's something that does something for every party member and it's not itself adding to that number, then it's just a little bit worse. But I do think that Spoils of Adventure deserves a mention.
Is that the one?
So it's 6 mana... so for a blue and a white, is an instant, gain 3 life, draw 3 cards, but it costs 1 less for each creature in your party. So it can be blue, white, draw 3, gain 3 at instant speed. Or, you know, 3 mana, 4 mana to draw 3 in a somewhat aggressive deck. That does feel like a nice way to refill.
Yeah. Like I said, it depends on the type of build we're making, you know, on a more of a... how can I say, more of a
mid-range, maybe?
Yeah, mid-range deck, sorry.
A little bit grindier, yeah.
It's still morning for me here. I'm still sleepy, guys. I'm sorry.
That's fine. I'm tired and it's nighttime here, but yeah. that's how it always ends up being. I do have a few more still that I think are definitely
worth. I was going to talk about probably a handful. Coveted Prize, 5-mana black sorcery, I believe, and it costs 1 less for each party member, and it lets you search for a card. Basically any card to put into your hand, and I think it says, I'm just doing this from memory, if you have a full party, you can add 4 mana to your mana pool and, like, play it.
So you can cast a spell with converted mana pool and cost 4 or less from your hand.
There we go.
This one is not one I've been able to try. I've been trying to think where it would make sense. You know, the thing that calls to me is being like, oh man, play it for 1 mana and get a collected company and play that right away. But that seems like a stretch. Yeah. Like, and really, I think kind of like, you know, I think when we were doing the set review, I kind of made the joke of like, yeah, you know, Wizards is my kind of party. If I've got 2 people come to a party, I'm happy. Mm-hmm. With this one, you know, if I've got 2 people, I'm paying 3 mana for a tutor. You know, that's actually not the worst rate. But I guess that's not counting. So that doesn't add 1 itself. So if I've only got 1 person, I'm paying 4 for a tutor. And that seems really bad, even in like some kind of combo deck, which I don't quite see this as being.
That's where I would try. That's what I was trying to see. There's got to be some kind of combo out there with all of these party members, you know, that we can, you know, use this to take advantage of to grab a card we need.
Yeah, I don't know if I've seen that yet. Kind of on the same thought as, is there a combo one day? Is there's like the red one? There's a 3-mana 3/2 wizard that adds a red for each creature in your party. Mm-hmm. Like, that could net you 1 red mana if you're a some kind of combo deck, but I don't quite see what that does for us yet.
Yeah, if you play him on turn 4, I believe, it's 4 mana, right? 3/3?
3 mana. 3 mana, 3/2.
Okay, 3 mana, 3/2.
And it adds 4 red.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
All right, a couple more. Let me see what else is good. I'm going to stay on the non-creature, but I think there is a couple more creatures I want to go over. Concerted Defense is one that I've been meaning to test and did not yet. So that's a 1-mana counter-target non-creature spell unless its controller pays 1, plus an additional 1 for each creature in your party. So at 1, it's a stifle only for non-creature spells. Mm-hmm. If you've got a couple of party members, it could be just, you know, basically a hard counter. Like, you know, paying 3 or 4 is pretty good. I actually think I overlooked this one a little bit. You know, I was... Spoiler alert, I tried a blue-white. I probably need to try this. Maybe it'll just end up in the sideboard for me, you know, like, instead of playing a negate or something on the sideboard, this seems a lot better in the matchups where I'd want negate. I'm not sure if it's a main deckable card.
The counterspell, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of the one that, like, the mono-blue decks or the spirits decks are using. I can't remember the name right now. It's, like, 1-mana... They have to counter it unless they pay 1 mana. Unless you have a flyer, then you have to pay 4 mana.
Yeah, and that one's 2 mana, and this is only 1. Yeah. But that can counter creatures, which is a big difference.
So that's something... maybe more of a sideboard card then, I think. You know,
yeah, maybe. Get
rid of the Wraths.
Yeah, certainly good against Wraths.
I know that there's that white instant as well as another party's member's card. Sorry, another party matters card. They're still trying to make a Path to Exile light card, and they're failing miserably. So it's 1-mana instant.
I mean, this one's interesting, yeah.
It's attacking. Yeah, it deals damage equal to the number of party members times 2, I believe.
Mm-hmm. To attacking or blocking creature, all for 1 as an instant.
Yeah. So if they're attacking...
This one's underperformed a little, but I do think that it's a card worth playing. You know, this can kill an Uro, this can kill a lot of nasty things. But when you're getting to the point where you're like, oh, I need to have 3 for it to really kill the things I want it to, that's kind of awkward. Yeah. Like, it can't kill an X5 without having 3 creatures.
Yeah, it's like a 1-mana shock, basically, a shock, or... Mm-hmm. I think is where I would put it, how I would use it.
All right.
But anyways.
All right, now I feel like we've skipped over all of the black ones is where I see quite a few still. So there's 2 2-drops that I both think are playable. There's the Acquisitions Expert is a 2-mana 1/2 rogue. When it enters, the opponent reveals cards equal to the number of party members you have, and then you choose 1 and they discard it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you just play them on 2, it's a 1/2 that makes them discard. we've seen better than that, but if you get a little bit of choice in it, you know, even if you're making them discard their second worst card or third worst card, that can be kind of cool. There's Malakir Blood Priest, yeah. I think is a very real payoff card, maybe. So this is a 2-mana 2/1 cleric, and when it enters the battlefield, each opponent loses X life, you gain X life, where X is the number of creatures in your party.
Like, if you could bring that back again and again, you know, yeah. return it to the graveyard, sorry, from the graveyard to play, then that it's not a bad card. Like, especially if you bring back four.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking
at. If you bring all your cards back, like some kind of rally deck, maybe.
Yeah, I've got one of those, or looking at something like that.
Yeah, so.
I also think the black-red couple of cards. So Ravager's Mace is another hard payoff, maybe. So it's a 3-mana equipment. It's got the new thing where when it comes in, it attaches right away, and an equipped creature gets +1/+0 and menace, where the +1/+0 is equal number of creatures in your party.
Nice.
Maybe good enough, maybe not. I don't know if you have any opinions on that one.
I still have not seen a deck that would ever want to play equipment.
Oh, well, I'll send you my black-red party deck.
Yeah.
and speaking of that, the other big kind of legendary payoff is Zagros. So he's a 4/4 vampire rogue, legendary creature. He costs 6, but 1 less for each creature in your party, so he can cost red-black for a 4/4 flying death touch haste. Other creatures you control have death touch, and when a creature with death touch deals damage to a planeswalker, you destroy that planeswalker.
Oh, yeah, I remember that guy now. Okay. Yeah, I considered adding these guys, or all these cards, to my list, but I didn't think they would be that playable. But I guess...
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about what the payoffs are, and then we're going to kind of see, like, is this payoff worth building around, and do we have good cards that make it reasonably easy to pay it off? Yeah,
and I guess that's not bad, because he's probably going to end up being at least 4-mana in a rogue... Sorry, not a rogue deck, but in a party deck, Zagros.
Yeah, so he's not... You can't go 1-2-3 with him, unless if you have, like, a 1-drop... warrior and then a 1-drop rogue and cleric, yeah. Like something like that seems a little tough to
So we're looking at a 4/4 haste flyer death touch, and everyone gets death touch. It's not bad.
Other ones that are probably not making the cut, there's like a 7-mana 7/5 that costs 1 less, so it can be a 2-mana 7/5. There's also Journey to Oblivion. I think probably that one to me seems like a trap. That's the 5-mana enters the battlefield, exile a non-land permanent your opponent controls, costs 1 less for each creature in your party. So there, like I said, if I'm looking at 1 creature in my party, if I'm even looking at 2, it's an Oblivion Ring.
Yeah.
And I don't think a 3-mana Oblivion Ring is a card I'm very excited about.
Yeah.
And especially not one that's sometimes 4 or 5 mana.
Yeah. All right.
That's about it, I think.
Yeah, I'm ready to jump into some top fives. I know there's a few more I'd actually like to talk about in a lot of these, in a lot of these party member types, but I just want to keep it to 5. Is that cool?
Okay, so let's go over what you're talking about here. So you're saying, hey, I'm building a generic party deck.
Yeah.
I'm looking for this creature type. What are my good options?
Yes. So
okay, yeah, just want to make sure we're in line with that. Are we going strictly by color, or are we saying, like, don't care about the color, I want a good blank drop in blank?
I mean, I want to just go by the creature types. I just want to go over...
Okay, yeah, let's go by the creature types.
Best 5 rogues, best 5 warriors, best 5 wizards, and best 5 clerics. So which one do you want to talk about first?
Ooh, you went rogue first, so let's go ahead with rogue.
Okay, so rogues... What's on your list? What do you think anybody who's looking for a rogue should be playing in their deck?
Now, there's kind of going to be two things I'm going to talk about here. Maybe let's go like kind of just generically good for a party deck, but then let's also talk about just a little bit like, hey, there might be a rogues deck that's centered around playing only rogues, not playing rogues, warriors, clerics, and wizards. So I'm going to go with the generically good ones first. The other thing I'm going to put as a stipulation here, not for this list so much, but I think that's something important for people when they're building these lists, if anyone is going to build one of these lists, if they're any good whatsoever. Maybe they'll get more cards in the D&D set. Getting way off topic. But when you're building these, you kind of want to think about your curve with a lot of these. So if you're thinking like, okay, I'm going to be playing a blank on 1, a blank on 2, it kind of helps to have somewhat thought out if you're like, oh, I want a wizard on three. If I'm playing three different wizards on three, that might be a good thing rather than having a wizard on one, a wizard on two, a wizard on three. Even if they're good cards, you're not going to be getting any of the synergies by doing that. So there's a little bit of an advantage to kind of clumping them or at least thinking it out. So with that in mind, you know, I do want to look at the different mana costs, things like that. I might just go ahead and say one of the ones that I think is generically strong is the new Nighthawk Scavenger, you know, the three mana vampire rogue that is flying, death touch, lifelink, and power equal to one plus a number of card types in your opponent's graveyard.
Yeah, I agree. I think that is deceptively strong. So I think that could take over games easily. And one thing that I've noticed, at least in Pioneer, is that we don't really have a lot of good quality flyers. Nah, there's not a lot of decks other than Spirits that really goes over people's heads.
Yeah, there's a little bit like that.
So especially in, you know, like a black aggro deck. You said Nighthawk Scavenger, right?
It's not actually called Nighthawk Scavenger. It's called... it's called Nighthawk Scavenger. Yeah, it's not called Nighthawk... the old one's dead. No one plays it anymore.
So, Flying Death Touch, Lifelink. It's going to be at least a 2-3 when it comes into play, and it's just going to get bigger. Yeah. So...
You know, and as long as we're talking about black flyers, should I just throw out Rankle as well?
Yeah, that was actually on my list. I thought that should at least make the top five.
Yeah, and you know, that's at a four-drop slot. Rankle's just a good card that people have been seeing and playing, and a powerful card.
Yeah, so rogues. Yeah, so it's fine. We can talk about Rogue Matters decks, you know, like a rogue theme, or we can just, like you said, talk about a party member.
Let's finish talking about the generically good ones. So those are probably two that are both on my list.
Yeah.
What do you got?
I like Robber of the Rich.
Okay, that's a good one. So the 2-2 haste, it can draw you cards off the opponent's deck. Yeah, 2-2 reach haste. Everyone forgets the reach. And that one is one that does say anytime you attack with any rogue, you can cast that card and you may spend mana as an outside.
So if you got this on curve, you attack with your... This on turn two, turn three, you get your Nighthawk, and then turn four, you got your Wrinkle. It's pretty sweet.
Should we give a special mention to the three that are everything? It's kind of getting off track here. Let's finish Rogues first, but let's currently exclude the couple of cards that are all of these creature types.
Yeah.
For me, probably one of the strongest ones I think fits in almost any of these decks. I don't have the name for some reason because it's not showing up in my Scryfall search. Glasspool Mimic.
Okay, yeah.
So 3 mana, Shapeshifter Rogue. When it enters the battlefield, it comes in as a copy of a creature you control, except it's a Shapeshifter Rogue in addition to its other types. So this gets to be another copy of one of your payoff cards, and it still keeps the rogue type, which is very cool. And then the thing is that you can also just play it as a tapped blue mana source.
Yeah, yeah. So I think that it would be auto-include any of these blue decks, these rogue decks.
Almost to the point where, I didn't build that deck, but I was looking at a Collected Company deck that didn't run blue, and I might be ready to play Glasspool Mimic in that deck.
You said it didn't run blue?
Doesn't run any blue sources. I can Cocoa it into play. Otherwise, I play it as a land tap land that makes colorless mana.
Okay.
And maybe triggers a Tazzery.
Okay. I'll have to hear more of that deck idea later. I'm kind of hard crazy? To grasp I right don't know. Now. I can't believe you haven't talked about Brazen Borrower yet. I think that's like...
Yeah, that's
probably like top, number one.
You know, that's going to be up there.
So Brazen Borrower 3-1, if you forgot, if you're listening to us and you forgot what Brazen Borrower is, it has Adventure 2, return target permanent to owner's hand, and it's a 3-mana 3-1 flyer with Flash, and it's a rogue.
100%, and I think that fits into a lot of these decks if you're playing blue, just because it's interaction.
Yeah. So definitely want to play that if you're playing a rogue deck, or like you said, if you just need a rogue to fill out your party, it's a great card. Any other good rogues? I mean, I did top five, but I mean, if you wanted to just kind of mention a few, that's fine. Let me see.
Yeah, I had Brazen Borrower, the Mimic, the Flyers.
If you want to, we can just kind of go through them real quick. Anything else that's kind of...
I do think that I had, so one I had tried, it didn't quite work out, is Tetsuo Umezawa. Mm. So just a quick shout out to him, that he's kind of funny. Goes along with some of these cards, but not all of them.
I think Agent of Treachery.
That's seven mana. I don't want to ever be hard casting Agent, so I'm not sure exactly where that fits.
Winota. Jeskai Winota.
Okay. I like that. You know, Winota's a warrior. Yeah. There's a lot of warriors
in
the deck.
Yeah, definitely.
Rogue Refiner, I think, is one I wanted to mention.
Okay, yeah, it's good value.
Just as a generically good. If you're playing something like a Coco deck, you know, a 3-2 that draws you a card is just a powerful card. And if you end up playing like a 4 or 5 color deck because you're trying to go fancy on your cards, mm-hmm. you could play Energy and Rogue Refiner will just power your Aether Hubs.
I like Glint Sleeve Siphoner as well. Menace 2-1 gets Energy. If you're going to be playing a Energy Rogue deck, you want to play this along with your Rogue Refiner. And then, you know, of course, you can pay 2 energy, and then you draw a card and lose 1 life. So good aggro deck.
Sounds good to me. Yeah.
Gonti is another rogue. I don't think he's going to be that good in a rogue deck, but maybe a sideboard
card. Yeah, he's a fun sideboard card, but I don't think the kind of decks that would be playing party really want him.
Yeah. I don't know. Is there anybody else we need to mention in rogues, you think?
I think that's good. Let's quick take that side... You know, quick little side trip and talk about the cards that are more than one creature type of the party.
Yeah, so there's the...
So Tajuru Paragon is, I think, the big one that we want to call out, is being a 2-mana 3-2. It's an elf, cleric, rogue, warrior, wizard. It can also kicker for 3 to find anything that shares a creature type with it from the top 6 cards. So if you've got the 5 mana, it's a 3-2 draw card, or 3-2, you know, better than draw card.
Yeah, 100% play this in any green... party deck that you're making.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, it's just an aggressive body, pretty strong. Now, the other one that obviously is all of those creature types and is very good is Mutavault.
Yeah, okay. Totally forgot. But if you're playing 3 or 4 colors.
It's tougher, yeah. So that's where it gets awkward. Is, you know, you're playing 3 or 4 colors. You know, maybe you're going really high on a land count just because you've got stuff like the Mimic and Mutavault, and mm-hmm. you know, you'll never flood out, or you will flood out, but it won't be because you've got
creature lands. If it's like a 2-color party deck, maybe like a red white aggro, mm-hmm. I could probably see playing Mutavault in there just to add to your
or red black. I was talking about.
Yeah. That would work. That would be fine. I think that's a good card.
Okay, what about Stonework Pack Beast? Is that ever playable? So that's the artifact, 2-mana 2/1. That's a beast cleric rogue warrior wizard, and it can sort of fix mana.
I think there's plenty of good 2-drop. How can I say, party members that you can find?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Like I said, Tajuru, whatever is that? I forgot. I already forgot the name. Tajuru, whatever. Tajuru Paragon. There we go. Yeah, I'd rather play that. You know.
All right. So now the next topic before we move on to the other topics of other creature types. What do you think about, you know, blue black rogues in Pioneer?
Now they have it in Standard, right, with like the discard and whatnot.
Yeah, it's certainly taken off. You know, we've got better discard, and the fact that we've got, you know, we've got Fatal Push, we've got Thoughtseize. A blue black deck seems better.
Yeah,
and now we have a blue black duel, which we didn't have.
I think. Well, here's the thing: it's an Uro format still, and there's a lot of graveyard strategies like Dredge and stuff as well, and a lot of people can just take advantage of their graveyards, so I don't know if it's actually good. I mean, it's going to fuel a lot of, you know, how can I say, archetypes, you know, let them bring back their Crokes earlier if you're playing against the red-black deck, or if they're playing a Sultai deck, you know, it's going to let them bring back their Uro, you know, a lot easier, so.
Yeah, I think maybe for me, the part that maybe you have to consider is that you don't have to go that hard on rogues. Like, you can be playing, you know, Thieves Guild Enforcer, you can be playing the 2-mana Soaring Thought Thief,
mm-hmm.
that is a tongue twister. You can be playing Xerathon, and you can be playing Brazen Borrower. And those 4 cards, that's enough rogues for you, probably, to fuel any of your rogue matters stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it has some good support.
Yeah, and then you're just a blue-black aggressive deck. You've got, you know, Drown in the Lock, you've got a lot of other good counters, you've got great removal.
Yeah.
Seems like a real deck. I haven't tried it. But, you know, I was messing with Esper Rogues even before this set, so I think there's something there.
Yeah. Do we move on to the next creature type?
Sure.
So yeah. You talked about rogues. I'm going to skip warriors because there's a lot of them. I want to talk about clerics next. Is that cool?
Okay, let me reorder my list here. No, that's good.
So clerics was a little bit difficult for me. There's some good. How can I say it? I think the top three is pretty clear cut, but after that it gets a little fuzzy. That's why I wanted to kind of hear what you said. As
far I feel
your
like I
clerics.
Had a lot, and for me clerics turned out a little bit awkward because I felt like a lot of them were at the same mana costs that I was looking for. So, you know, I was kind of like, oh hey, I really like. You know, I really like the Archpriest of Iona in white, we already talked about. But then I'm like, oh, but I can't really play this other good white 2-drop, or I don't really want to, because then it's just like, then I'm not curving out well.
Yeah.
So maybe you still do that, but I will still call it the new one. Luminarch Aspirant is one of my first ones I want to talk about.
Really?
2-mana, 1/1 cleric, human cleric, Bane of your upkeep, you put a +1/+1 counter on any creature you control.
Now, why do you like this in a cleric deck? Or, sorry, as your party?
It's just a good aggressive card that is a cleric. You know, it's a threat that builds. Like, it comes down, it can become a 2/2. Next turn, it attacks as a 3/3. Next turn, it's a 4/4. Or, you know, you're dumping it onto something like your 2/1 unblockable. You know, it's just a strong beater card that I think is worth playing.
Is it going to stick
and
around?
We're talking
though?
About generically good clerics. I mean, that means they have to kill it, and they're not killing your party member. It's like,
yeah,
you've got decent ways to protect it. I think it's a reasonable card. Very playable.
Okay.
Just like on its own.
All right. Well, if you're choosing that for your first card, I am going to choose a card that kind of goes along with this. My choice as one of a good playable cleric was the Venerated Loxodon, which is a 5-mana 4/4 with Convoke. And so whatever you can tap a creature to reduce its cost. And when it enters the battlefield, you put a 1/1 counter on each creature that convoked it. So if you're going to play that on turn two, you know, giving counters to something, then Venerated Loxodon would be an obvious choice. You know, bring that down on turn three, pump up your party, and then everything just gets bigger and bigger and bigger the more of those Luminarchs you have.
So I will cut ahead basically and say that I did try a cleric's counters deck. So we have Conclave Mentor is a green white 2/2 centaur cleric, and whenever one or more +1/+1 counters be put on something, you put that many +1, and when it dies you gain life equal to its power. So yeah, I mean, fits right in with those ones. There's also Cleric of Life's Bond is a white black 2/2 vampire cleric. Whenever another cleric enters, you gain 1 life, and whenever you gain life for the first time each turn, put a +1/+1 counter on it. So all of those, you know, that's a lot at 2-drops, but they kind of all work together in that same way.
I totally didn't think about the Conclave Mentor.
Yeah, it didn't work out great for me. I think the deck's not worth pursuing too much harder, but it was a cool idea.
Yeah. So what other clerics do you think are worth mentioning?
Okay, ones that are worth mentioning. Let me go back to that. All right, so I think that... Hang on. I've got mine sorted by color here. And I know that I had some good ones in black. So Priest of the Forgotten Gods is one I want to call out. And, you know, that's a little bit of a build-around. Maybe it's not a generic one that you'd throw in any party deck. But it is a good card. You know, seeing play in Standard and Pioneer. Mm-hmm. And it is a cleric.
I was going to say, I think we were kind of talking about the possibility of a rally deck or something like that, so it could definitely fit into that build, I think.
Yeah, so we skipped over Zulaport Cutthroat as a rogue, but that is, you know, those two cards together make for a powerful combination.
I had that on my list as well. Selfless Spirit is another good cleric. It's a 2/1 flyer sacrifice to make all your guys indestructible. So that could be good in a red-white, you know, aggressive party deck, or it could be good, you know, like if we're doing this rally deck and you just want a sacrifice to protect, I mean, to activate something or to use the ability to just protect all your other guys so you can combo off. So, yeah.
Definitely. And then I was going to say, there's actually a bunch of cards that I kind of fit in as good sideboard clerics.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously there's some ones that come in and gain you life, but some ones that I really want to talk about are like Apostle of Purifying Light at sideboard play right now. That's the 2/1 cleric that's pro black, and it can exile a creature from or any card from a graveyard. You've got Remorseful Cleric is a 2/1 flying spirit
good
cleric.
Sideboard.
Can exile our cards from a player's graveyard. You've got Bygone Bishop is a 2/3 for 3 that whenever you cast a creature spell with converted mana cost 3 or less, you investigate.
And that used
also a cleric.
That used to actually be in the white blue flyers deck in I want to say Eldritch Moon Standard.
Yeah, like it's borderline playable.
Yeah, so
along with like Erosion Cleric, and then I think I had one more was like Sin Collector. Mm-hmm. If you're in white black, that one I think exiles a card from the opponent's hand. Yeah, instant or sorcery card from your opponent's hand when it enters the battlefield.
Are there any other good? I don't know if there's any other good clerics that I. Oh, what do we think about Vito Thorn? He's 3 mana, 1/3. That's pay 5 mana, give all your guys lifelink, and whenever you gain life, your opponent loses life. So if you're playing that kind of what's the word I'm looking for, like rally deck and Zulaport Cutthroat and whatnot, and you know, you're sacking all those guys and dealing all that damage, you can deal double damage with him in play because they're losing life from Zulaport, and when you gain life from Zulaport.
Yeah, I think it's. And that card would end up being a little bit too win more / too build around for a party deck, certainly. Maybe if you've got a cleric deck that's got a strong life gain sub theme, then it might be worth it.
Okay. I kind of like Null Priest of Oblivion, the new card.
Yeah, I like Null Priest. You know, that's one we talked about during the set review, is the 2/1 Menace lifelink for 2 that can kick her to bring back a creature card.
I like it, but I don't know where it would go. That's the problem. I don't know if it would be in
That's tough. You know, maybe if you're just generically strong card, but as long as we're talking about creatures that are kind of aristocrat-y, you know, Liliana Heretical Healer.
Yeah, I had considered.
Doesn't always stay in play as a cleric, but I think is a good card for, like, you've got a lot of good small creatures you want to bring back. Like, you know, if you bring back that that one, or the X2 cleric as a -1, that seems really powerful.
Isn't there the one, the black card that makes the 5/5 demon?
Yes, so that is Archfiend's Vessel. That's reasonable.
Yeah, so that's a cleric that you could really take advantage of with her. But of course, everyone else is just everybody else is just playing that 3-mana. The 3-mana sorcery that brings back 2 cards.
Equal. Yeah, Gruesome Menagerie.
Yeah, or no.
Or, yeah.
Is it Gruesome Menagerie?
Oh, no. It's Call of the Death Dweller.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah, everyone's playing that. But if you're playing Rally the Ancestors, then I think also that's perfect.
Or you're playing the new one that does something similar, which is the red-black one.
Yeah.
The land that does that.
What do you think of Tabarax, Hope's Demise?
So that's more of a cleric's only card, which we can kind of go into here real quick. Is, you know, he's a 2/2 flying demon cleric for 3 mana, and whenever a non-token creature you control dies, you put a +1/+1 counter on him, and if that creature was a cleric, you can draw a card and lose 1 life. And he also has a lifelink if you have 5 more counters on him. So there, you know, he kind of does fit in with that +1/+1 counter theme of clerics, kind of with that life gain theme, maybe the sacrifice theme. It just seems like a lot of pieces that require a lot of things to go together well.
Yeah.
Kind of on the same vein is Aura Skyclave Hierophant, is a 4-mana 3/3 lifelink core cleric, and whenever him or another cleric dies, you return a cleric card with less converted mana cost to the graveyard of the battlefield. So, like, I was trying to be like, oh, yeah, that card, and then you've got the Loxodon, so it can bring back anything. Like, that's so cool, but, like, just never really worked out how you would like it to.
Yeah. I mean, it seems cool, though. Especially if I'm playing that Rally Duck Ray and I have Sacrifice effects, I wouldn't mind having it as a 2/2. You know, just sack everything, get big, and just, other than the life drain aspect, you also have this huge flyer in the air. And you're drawing a card whenever your cleric dies, so you're filling up your hand when you're sacking. So yeah, I mean, sounds fun. I don't know how I'm gonna build it yet, but you know, I think it's definitely something to consider when you're building a deck.
Yeah, why don't we move on to clerics is an archetype on their own. I think low on them, clerics as part of a party, I think there's some reasonable options.
Yeah.
Mostly in black and white, though. You know, I didn't really see any good blue or red clerics, particularly.
Yeah.
Okay. Warriors, you want to move to?
Yes. Warriors is huge, though. Do you want to do?
Oh yeah, Warriors is huge. We can end with Warriors. Yeah. I mean, Wizards is pretty big too, though.
Yeah. Your choice. What do you want to do? Wizards or Warriors? Yeah,
let's go to Wizards next. Okay. And there it almost depends kind of what colors you're going for. I mean, the big colors for Wizards are blue and red. If you're not in blue or red, white does not have much. Mm. you know, there's like a jank card I like for three. Let me see about...
Some really good three drops in Wizards.
Yeah. Yeah, like certainly, especially earlier. In multicolor. I'm going to quick look at the black wizard, see if there's anything worth playing in there.
What do you mind? Do you mind if I talk about my favorite wizard first?
Yeah, go ahead. Talk about a wizard.
Reflector Mage? He's seen no love in Pioneer, and it's so sad. He used to be so good. So the 2/3 wizard, one white and a blue. When it comes into play, bounce target creature to an opponent's hand, and that card cannot be cast next turn. You have to wait two turns to cast it. So, if there's ever a reason to play Reflector Mage again, it'll be in a party deck.
I think that's fair. I think that's also, you know, there's some good places where Reflector Mage is strong in the meta. You know, I think it's good against a lot of mono blacks, aggro creatures. It's also really good against Niv-Mizzet because, you know, if they've got a full hand of cards and you bounce their Niv-Mizzet. What are they going to do, play Niv-Mizzet again and draw more cards? Right. Like, it doesn't feel great for them if they're behind on tempo already.
Yep. And it's a good Coco target as well, so.
Yeah, definitely. Right. So as long as you're going to just jump straight into multicolor and ignore me trying to go a little bit by color, I'm going to talk about the other good blue-white wizards. So we already talked about Linvala, but Deputy of Detention is also a wizard. Yep. So that's a 3-mana 1/3 wizard that, you know, exiles. It's like Detention Sphere.
Any permanent, right?
Any non-mind permanent, yeah. And each one with the same name.
Yeah, I like that card a lot. I would definitely want to play both of those. That 3-drop spot, though, is so heavy. I mean, it's so full. There's so many good 3-drops.
You know what? That's kind of what I was saying, though, is that you're always going to have... If you're talking about a blue-white party deck, your 3-drop is always going to be a wizard. Yeah. So you don't want any wizards as a 1 and 2-drop because your 3-drop is going to be a wizard. Yeah. And that's not bad. I don't think that's bad if you're curving out and then your 3-drop's a wizard.
Your warrior and your rogue have to protect your wizard.
Yeah, or your cleric and your rogue, something like that.
There we go. I think we should real quickly just say the blue-red wizard prowess deck is probably the best wizard deck out there.
Yes, I think that, you know, I don't know if that's really seeing play.
It's not, particularly. But it's still decent. It's a decent deck. You know, you got...
Yeah, there's some reasonable cards in there. So, you know, Soul Scar Mage, I think we can just automatically say is a great red wizard card. If I'm looking at red wizards, you know, Gitu Lava Runner was another one that saw play. I can't talk. And then the last one that I quite liked was the Vyashino Pyromancer. Mm-hmm. You know, 2-mana, 2/1, when it enters, deals 2.
Yeah. So
And then the other one that I think in red, if we're looking in red, would be the Magmatic Channeler.
Uh-huh. That's another new one that just came out.
So. Yeah. 2-mana. It's a 1. Well, that's one of those ones that's tough. I think I tried that when I was building black-red, and for me it was awkward because you just don't have enough instant or sorceries for it to become a 4/4. Mm-hmm. So if it's just a 1/3 that can draw you cards, don't love that as much, but...
Oh, there's some good wizards in here. Lightning Stormkin's another wizard. Okay. But yeah, the Stormcaster guy, 1/3 with prowess, flying, haste. That was in, what is it, Oath of the Gatewatch? It's another good wizard.
I think that's right, yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh, Grim Harrow Specs, I do have to remember as a wizard, if we're talking about, if I do end up building like a...
Rally deck?
Rally, yeah. Or something like that.
Yeah. It's coming together. I mean, that's what I'm liking about, like, you know, kind of exploring the format with all these new cards and these new mechanics is that maybe these new decks aren't just, like, in your face, you know, like, obvious, mm-hmm. but a lot of stuff, I think, is coming together now. It's like, yeah, I can see how this would work, but, you know, it's just missing one or two cards.
Or even if not Rally, maybe Return to the Ranks, you know, get back Malakir Blood Priest, mm-hmm. Acquisition Experts, the Priest of the Forgotten Gods. Like, there's a lot of good 2-drops that we're talking about here.
Yeah, and the double and triple, how can I say, ETB effects, you know, with like the Malakir Blood Priest. I mean, it would be sweet if you
bring. Have Malakir. Well, when I was doing Black Red, I was thinking like, okay, Malakir Blood Priest plus Vyashinu Pyromancer, like that's a good combination.
Yeah, yeah. So big boom when you enter the battlefield. I like alliteration. Sorry, people.
That's fine. Hey, isn't there a guy who doubles Wizard Enter the Battlefield triggers?
I want to say it's the blue guy. I can't remember his name. I'm looking for him right now.
I think he's only 2 mana, but probably not actually very good.
Any other good wizards?
You know, there's some good like generic ones. Like I'm looking at like, you know, Jace, Friend's Prodigy, Fae of Wishes. But those aren't like, you know, sitting in play a lot of the time, I would say.
I like Champion of Wits. Like especially with something like Magmatic Channeler, Champion of Wits, and put stuff in your graveyard, especially if you're playing something with like a lot of the jumpstart, then it doesn't really matter. You can just kind of play them again.
Yeah.
No, you don't like that?
I don't think it's a card that I've tried a lot of, and I think that it's just too slow as a 3-mana 2/1.
Okay.
That doesn't net you a card when it enters.
Any other good ones? How about Baral? I thought Baral could be playable as a wizard.
Yeah, I mean, that's too much of a build-around card. You know, I'd have to be a Storm deck, and then I'm not playing all of these wizards.
Yeah,
there's a few random ones, you know, like Sidithi's Faithful is a low-key one that I was thinking about.
What does Sidithi's Faithful do?
It's like a 0/4 that when it enters the battlefield, you can sacrifice a creature to bounce a creature.
Okay.
Siren Storm Tamer is another one.
Oh, yeah. Is that the one you sacrifice the counter?
Yeah, can protect something.
Yep. I really want to say Prime Speaker Vanifar is a fun wizard card, but I don't. That's a build-around card. There's no way you want to play that.
Oh, that's such a build-around card. Yeah, you don't want to be sacrificing your party to get more party cards. I don't think that ends up positive for you.
Is there anything else? I mean, Jace is also a wizard, but I don't know if you'd actually want to play with him in a party deck.
Yeah, so there's a few good party creatures, and there I think there's some generically good creatures that are worth playing for party. You know, maybe a few limited ones. Like we said, there's some good red aggressive creatures. There's a lot of good blue-white, if that's where you are.
Yeah.
If you're, like, not in either of those colors, then I don't know what you do, but I feel like those are also the colors that have party payoffs, so that's probably where you'll be.
Yeah. You want to move on to Warriors?
Yeah. Now, Warriors is tough. I feel like Warriors is probably one of the easier ones to fulfill if you're just trying to, you know, check a box. I want some good Warriors in there.
Yeah.
So I almost want to go, like, by curve, if that's not crazy.
I mean, I didn't organize them by curves, but feel free to get started.
All right, well, yeah, I mean, if I'm jumping off, like, one of the best ones that I think is seeing play right now, Bloodsoak Champion, 2/1 can't block. It can come back for 2 mana. You know, it sees plenty of play right now in mono black. It's kind of the best one of those there.
So a good aggressive.
But if you're not in black, there are still good warriors.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the best one in white, if you're looking for a warrior, is Mardu Woe Reaper.
Yeah.
So that's a 2/1. When it or another warrior enters, you can exile a creature card from a graveyard. If you do, you gain a life. So it's just boop, buy Euro. Like, buy that obnoxious card that really messes me up.
If you're playing a Warriors Matters deck, then yeah, you definitely want to do that. I think having that main deck incidental graveyard hate is really good.
Yeah, it's nice. Other than that, you know, Gutterbones, I think, has seen a little bit of play.
Skeleton Warrior?
It's generally a little bit worse than a Bloodsoaked Champion. Yeah, Skeleton Warrior. Pelt Collector is a warrior, but we don't really think that will, you know, I don't think we're going to be green based mainly. Zergo Bellstrikers is the one I really want to call out as a 2/2 for 1 mana is also an orc warrior.
Yeah. I mean, if you're making like a green red deck, I mean, cause then you get access to the, Targu or the,
but then you're not getting any payoff. There's no party cards that are like play green red.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no really good payoffs there. Just the synergy.
I mean, maybe there's that one that, like, puts a +1/+1 counter for each member in your party. I don't think that card's actually good, though, right?
No, probably not.
Like, even if you get +3/+3 permanently for 1 green, like, that's... Yeah. I don't think we're going to play that. That's not what we're doing.
Man, there's some good warrior cards. I mean, do you want to keep going by mana cost?
I could keep going by mana cost.
Okay.
I'm going to skip over a couple of Warriors Matters cards. Let me see what else I like at 2.
I actually have a 2 mana.
Yeah, go ahead, because I've got some bad ones
here. Ash Zealot, red. 2/2 first strike haste. Like I said, some bad ones. And whenever an opponent plays a spell from their graveyard, deals 3 damage. So just got that.
Oh no, Ashcell. Yeah, Ashcell. It's not too bad. Like that does see play.
It's a really good
red spell. Red hurts though. I think if we're talking about.
Yeah, you'd have to have like two colors. It'd have to be like a red white or red green or red black or something like that. But it's again, it's got that really good incidental hate, you know, stacked onto it. So I wouldn't be against playing that card, and especially if you're doing, I don't know, some. Like you said, there's not really any good payouts for just playing like old warriors. But yeah, I would like.
Well, we can talk about that. I think that we will. We'll talk about playing a warriors deck at the end. Because I've seen people do it. I just don't think that it's great because the mana is not good enough, and the payoffs aren't just quite, are just a little bit short.
Should we talk about Winota? I don't say. Oh wait.
That's a whole other topic. I think so. Let me just keep going. So Glorybound Initiate, I think, is one. If we're talking about white, you know, 3/1 that becomes a 4/4 lifelink by exerting itself when it attacks.
Okay.
Good aggressive creature. There's some random ones like Hero of Precinct one.
Den Protector is maybe another that's awkward. One.
Yeah, Den Protector. You know, Growth Chamber Guardian.
Dreadhorde Butcher some options. Is a good one if you're playing like a sacrifice, you know, deck.
Yeah, not great, but I think it is technically an option.
I kind of like Desk Watch Recruiter as well, the warrior that lets you search for more cards. That's
is he a warrior?
Yeah, he's a human warrior werewolf. Sorry, say that fast.
Is he still a warrior when he transforms?
He is a werewolf.
Not.
Yeah.
Yes. So, womp womp, there goes your party. There you go.
He's eaten by a werewolf. Yeah.
Awkward. I mean, maybe if we're RPing and one of our party members got bitten by a werewolf, that's something. But
did you talk about Earthshaker Kenra already?
No, that's a reasonable one.
2/1 haste and opponent's creature can't block if it's got power less than his power.
I feel like I'd rather play the 3-drop warrior, which is similar, the Uncrop Crasher, the 3-mana 3/2 that can exert to make something not be able to block when it attacks.
Are you moving into 3-drops now?
Mostly, yeah. I'm mostly okay with, like, there's a lot of 2-drops. I think if you're trying to get a 2-drop as your warrior slot, you won't have much problem.
Yeah.
For me, I kind of skip it because there's a lot of good 1-drop warriors and there's some good 4-drop warriors, so I don't want to be too heavy on 2s and 3s.
Rabble Master's a warrior.
It is indeed a warrior. Nice. Yep, that's certainly a card.
Some people have been playing the Legion War Boss instead in the decks that usually had Rabble Master. That's kind of sad.
Yeah, it depends. You know, when no one was really preparing for Winota, Rabble Master has a higher chance of just, you know, winning the game on turn 3. But if you're trying to play a slightly longer, realistic game where your opponent's going to have interaction, they're going to have blockers, there are cases where the Legion War Boss is slightly better.
What other 3-drops are there?
Gruul Spellbreaker, that was another maybe. One on my
list. I think that's good. Again,
you know, Lifebane Zombie.
Yeah, we got a lot of good green-red warrior cards. But, I mean, it's just green-red aggro. It's not really any reason to be warriors, right?
Ooh. Yeah, that's just kind of green-red aggro. Yeah, like Reckless Bushwhacker is also a warrior, I found out.
Yeah,
I knew it was a goblin and an ally, but...
4-drops? Big Daddy?
Yeah. I'm still going through 3 here, but I think I'm probably... Go ahead with any 4s if you got
them. Calatus, Trader of Geth, is a vampire warrior.
I don't think that's where I was going if I'm playing an aggressive...
If you're playing aggressive, I'm thinking of if you're playing some kind of mid-range deck, like a Sultai or something, then Calatus would be a great 4-drop option. He fills the warrior role, lifelink 3/4. Whenever a creature dies... whenever a creature opponent control dies, exile and get a 2/2, and then you can sacrifice a vampire zombie and get 2/1/1 counters on him.
Yeah, I mean, what should I be expecting? You were ready to play Agent of Treachery as a hard drop.
He's a great sideboard card as well.
He is a great sideboard card if you're in a black deck. That answers a lot of things. I think he is probably underplayed right now. The fact that he eats Uros when they play them hard cast is a really nice thing about him.
Play him main deck.
Alright, so I'm going to go with some more white ones. You know, we did talk about the one, I think that Squad Commander is a very good card. If you're going hard on a Party Matters deck, it's hard to pass. And you, I almost might say, like, go 3-4 squad commanders, and maybe that's your only 4 drop. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, a Legion Angel, I think, is a very strong card and is a warrior. That's that 4-3 Angel for 4. And when it enters, you can find a copy of it from your sideboard.
Okay.
So, you know, run, like, 2 of them, run another 2 in the sideboard, and then it's a 4th, like, if you, you know, you're kind of an aggressive deck, but if you get to the top end of your curve and play this 4-drop, you've got a 4-drop and another 4-drop, but you don't have them when you don't need them, so your curve can still stay low.
I got a quick question. Isn't there a deck in Standard right now that plays Rada, Heart of Keld, the 3-3 Warrior Elf for 3 mana? She has first strike and you get to play land.
In Standard, I don't know. I know I saw it in Claudio's more aggressive Niv-Mizzet deck.
Maybe that's where I saw it.
And I really liked it there.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it's seeing any play.
Okay. I thought I saw that around. Any other good warriors? I mean, Winota, of course. We have to mention her.
Yeah, Serac.
Would you build a Winota deck around... Could you build a Winota deck around the party mechanic plus, you know, also kind of fill the Winota, how can I say, payoffs? Or would that be too hard?
I think it's cool. I don't know if you'd have quite enough payoffs. It's kind of awkward. Like, the payoffs don't really... You can get Tazri as a human. That's not great.
If you have a lot of that extra mana with the mana dorks early on, and you have that Tazri Paragon, then if you don't have your... I mean, it's a 3-2 warrior elf.
And you can squad commander, but also like bring some of the stuff in later. I think it's going to be a mess. Yeah. You're welcome to try it. I think it's going to be a mess.
Yeah, I won't try it.
Okay.
Any other good warriors? Serac, I think, is another one, right? Fourth.
Yeah, I mentioned Serac.
Yeah. Valraz seems interesting. He gives everything scavenge, so you can just exile him from your graveyard and put a +1/+1 counter equal to its power.
Yeah, I think we're stretching now. Yeah. I think that, you know, like I said, there's good ones, there's good fours. I think that whichever color you're in, you're gonna have some good options there.
So there's definitely playable cards. I think, you know, if we're kind of like winding down, you know, our topic.
I think we're winding down here.
I think there's definitely some good choices. Two ways to build a deck. There's the synergistic, you know, like all rogues or all wizards or all warriors type decks that you could go, and then there's also the party mechanic, which has a few payoffs, but not so much in the aggressive colors, I believe.
Yeah. Overall, I think that the payoffs aren't that high. You know, I was trying to build a Coco version. I was trying to build a Rally version. Didn't have great success with that. I built red-black. Didn't think it was very good. I do have a white-blue that I think is playable. Mm-hmm. I think could be, you know, a real deck. That one maybe I'll post on our Discord. If anyone wants to check there, you can get some other notes about the podcast. You can reach out to us. It's a great way to stay in communication, and we'd love to hear from you guys. So we'll make sure that there's a link to the Discord down below of this episode, but you can find me at MTG Pioneer on Twitter. You can also find links to our, we've got like a Reddit page, and there's also a Pioneer Discord that I'm a moderator on, so can find me there as well.
All right, and you guys can find me on Twitter as well at Yoshwenky, YOSCHWENKY.
All right, so I know I rolled right into the ending there. Was there anything else you wanted to say,
Ryan? No, I think that was a good...
I didn't cut you off.
This sounded like a good place to end it, so we hope to see you guys back.
I know you're like, yeah, I could talk for half an hour on these, and I'm like, man, I could talk for... Oh, we didn't even talk about Warriors Tribal, but don't play Warriors Tribal. There's a couple good cards, but they're not good enough.
If you want to... All right. This is all jank. This is a jank topic today.
Yeah, and you know what else we didn't mention is that the mana is kind of unfortunate.
Yes.
You know, the payoffs for party, red-black or blue-white... We didn't get a red-black duel. We didn't get a blue-white duel. We still don't have a red-black or blue-white duel. That's other than the Shockland.
We need Ancient Ziggurat.
Yeah, we need something. Yeah. No good. All right, that's going to bring us to the end of the show, though. I think thank you guys for listening. This has been a lot of fun. I am Kevin Finkel. This was the First Pioneer Podcast, and we keep you up to date with what is new, interesting, and powerful in the world of Pioneer. We're the go-to place for Pioneer information online. Signing off.